Father, we come before you. We thank you for your precious, precious word, Father. Oh, my, my, my. If we had just known what was all in this book, Father, the mysteries that have been concealed and locked within these pages, Father, that are opening before our very eyes. This great mystery, Father. First of all, we just say thank you. Holy Spirit, we welcome you today. We ask for your help to convey these mysteries. Ask for your anointing to convey them to your people, Father. We thank you this message will go around the world, Father, before it's done. This message will go into the body of Christ globally. In Jesus' name, amen. If you haven't been here in a while, we're going to say some very heavy things, because we're starting out heavy because we've been in this for 4 or 5 months. So I just pray, just hang on. Amen. But today I'm going to bring you some balance between a crucified life and a resurrection life. And you'll see some of the balance that the Word of God has to say about this. And we're going to explore some very deep things today. God willing, if we can get in there. So hold on. Amen. Everyone say, hold on. Strap in. Glory to God. Okay. We'll begin in one of our familiar scriptures today. Go to Colossians chapter 3. Last week, we broke the book of Colossians, the first three chapters, literally verse by verse. And those of you that like this, you want more of it, there, we have a website, framingyourworld.com. You can listen to all this free. It's there. You just press the button and you can start listening to it. And it's there. And we've taught probably 12, 13 messages. And it looks like we've got another 2 years worth of messages. The way Revelation is exploding right now. It's incredible. Glory to God. All right. Let's begin. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. It says, if you then be risen with Christ. Well, that is a past tense operation. He did that already. If you then be risen, he's basing that based on what he said in the first two chapters, which we covered in detail last week. If you then be risen with Christ, you're raised somewhere. If you're risen, you're not in a grave. You're raised, and you're raised with him. Because he was raised. And when he was raised, you were raised. You were raised somewhere. That somewhere is not a mystical place. It's a very real place. It's just not of this world. It's not of this jurisdiction. Amen? Seek those things which are above. So he's going to tell you kind of where it's at. Where you were raised. Where? Then he's going to hone you in with a little compass. Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. What? You can seek that place? Yes, you can. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. Boy, the church needs to hear this. Now, this is the part I want to get into, this verse 3 today. These are two polar opposites right here. You are dead. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. You ever heard somebody preach God came that you might have life and have it more abundantly? And the way that's preached is we're going to have life here and have an abundant life. And you can have abundant life. But that's not where life starts. This world is fallen. It fell at Adam. But when you're born into a fallen world, you don't always know how fallen it is until you get introduced to another world called life, resurrection life, in the realms of God's glory. When you start getting introduced to the realms of God's glory, light starts breaking forth in such a way you actually start seeing. Some people have to explore this life for 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years and try to eat from the system of this world to find out there's nothing there. Well, if I could just have a little bit more here or a little bit more of that, if I could just have that house over there. And now listen, God has no problem with houses. But if you think you're going to find something in a house, You know, especially after you buy it, after the 3 months wears off, it's just a house. You can't keep eating from it, you know? It's a good home, it's a livelihood, and God gives goodly houses. Thank God for that, amen? He doesn't give you a house, he gives you goodly houses, but you can't find life in it. You're not going to find life in this world anywhere. I don't care how big or how hard or how deep you search, because this world is fallen. However, we are risen. He said, you are dead to this system. Now, we're going to get into that. So go back to chapter 2 for a minute. Let's look at verse 10. It says, your life is hid with Christ in the Father. You're going to have to find that place if you're going to find that life. It's hidden with him in the Father. That's literal life. That's just not a word there. That's tangible life. Tangible glory, tangible love, tangible presence, tangible. Everyone say tangible. I mean, I can touch it. I can feel it. I can eat, taste, drink. It's just spiritual, but it's very real. Amen. Okay, chapter 2, verse 10, he says, you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom you're circumcised. This is Colossians 2, verse 11. With a circumcision made with hands, made without hands, with putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Now, every male in Jewish history, you know, in Israel, when they were born, they were circumcised the eighth day. But he said this true circumcision wasn't that kind of circumcision that was under the law. It was a circumcision of Christ where he cut away the old man. Now he's going to tell you how he did that with this verse right here. This next verse, he said, look at verse 12, buried with him in baptism. Say buried. You got to get a revelation. You were born in a fallen race. That man that you were born in could not inherit the kingdom, so God had to do something with him. You were born, the spiritual part, he had to bury that man. He buried him when he buried himself. He was the innocent lamb slain from the foundation of the world, and when God buried him, you were buried with him. That fallen man was buried. Say buried. You are not a sinner saved by grace. Look at your neighbor, say, I am not a sinner saved by grace. You are a bona fide son. When he buried that part of you that belonged to this earthly jurisdiction, that part of you that belonged to the kingdom of this world, and that part of you the devil controls the human race with, he buried it. That's what happened in baptism. That's what happened. You gave your life to Jesus. The problem is we gave our life, we got born again, but we don't know who we are, and we don't know where that man is supposed to live. Now look at this. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen. Say risen. With him through the faith of the operation of God who raised him from the dead. Did you get that? 3 days in the belly of hell. There was a law born when he purchased your salvation. It's called the law of the Spirit of life. The Holy Spirit took that law and he went into hell itself and raised him out of hell. Raised him out with the resurrection life. He said, I am the resurrection. I am the life. When he raised him out, that's the same thing that raised your old man, when he was buried, God came and got that old man and raised him with him. You were raised in resurrection life. Now the Bible talks about this buried with Christ, crucified with Christ. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Now I want to introduce you to something here. If you'll go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I'm going to introduce you to some balance. in the kingdom. God is remarkable in his wisdom. I'm telling you, remarkable. If you'll understand what I'm about to tell you, you're going to understand why God did it and why there is what's called a crucified life here. All right? I'm getting ahead of myself. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble that came to us in Asia. We are pressed out of measure. This is the part of the gospel that we don't understand very much. Pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves. The sentence of death in ourselves. What did Colossians 3 verse 3 said? You are dead. Now he says we have this sentence that's been pronounced upon us. Now we've known a lot about the crucified lifestyle. Mortification of the flesh. They do mortify the deeds of this body. We've known a lot about the crucified lifestyle and how that sentence works. It's a very real sentencing. That sentencing is not anything you'll ever be able to run from. You can't run far enough from it. In fact, God has these things called the winnowing fork, baptism of fire, purgings, prunings. It's like, oh my God, you've got to be kidding me. I didn't come here to hear this. The furnace of affliction. Anybody ever been in the furnace of affliction? The winnowing fork. You know what a winnowing fork is? That's called divine surgery. Usually comes through hot testing and trials. He's cutting away things. There's a sentence. You can run from it, but you can't hide from it. It's a very real sentence. I was crucified with Christ. The day you were born again, he set a sentence in motion on a part of you, but he also set another river in motion on another part of you. You are a divine yo-yo. There's a part of you that sentence is intent on crucifying. Because that old man does not live for God anymore. When you were born again, the new man, the spiritual man in you was seated. He was actually, in Colossians, we talked about this last week, translated out of darkness. He was delivered from the power of darkness, translated into the kingdom. He does not belong to this earth's jurisdiction. He operates with laws and physics that govern the kingdom, but he's got to be taught. The problem is he's housed in a body that does belong to this world system, that likes this world system, and a soul, mind, will, and emotions. How many of you know your mind did not get saved? God, I wish he would have included that in salvation. Don't you wish he'd have just thrown your mind? Say, just throw their soul in there with it. Oh my God, if you could have just thrown our soul in there, man, we could have done this a lot easier. The mind, will, and emotion, if you could have just thrown that in there. If he could have got born again, you know, I could have lived in the body a lot easier. Why did he do that? He got to leave you in your body so you'll have authority here. He has to leave you in the body. I said, but what's up with that soul stuff? Yeah. Your free will, mind, will, and emotions, that part of you has to be transformed. Now, there's a divine sentencing on part of you. How many of you have ever experienced that? How many ever run from fire? Here's the problem that we have not understanding the divine sentencing. When we understand this divine sentence, what it's there for, it's there to help you. You just don't know it. Because you, when you try to partake of this world system, there's nothing there. It's the tree of knowledge of good and evil. There's nothing there but emptiness. But it tells your flesh that it will satisfy, and it will for a season. But every time you try to partake of this system, that sentence is also there too. That's why that divine sentencing will not allow you, see. And what that sentencing does over time, those of you that walked with God, how many of you walked with God more than 20 years? How many of you have ever been a part of that sentencing? How many of you have ever experienced the winnowing fork, baptism of fire, furnace of affliction, tests, trials? Oh, that's a sentencing. It's designed to crucify one part of you. But if that's all you ever do is just live crucified, you will be of all men most miserable. This is why the church walks around, because we're getting highly skilled at being crucified. I got the badge. Just whichever one you want. Here we go. Let me tell you what I've been through. Oh, let me show you my medal. You think that's something? Look at my medal. Every one of us in here has been through something hard, heavy, painful. We go through the crucible. But if that's all we ever experience with God, we walk around miserable. Well, I'm suffering for the Lord. When I first got born again, this lady took me to church. She goes, LaRue, you want to make it big with God? You're going to have to learn to suffer for the Lord. I've been suffering ever since. There is a suffering of Christ. Nobody wants to preach about it because nobody wants to hear that part. And for the longest part, I said, Lord, I'm tired of suffering. Look, I understand how to be crucified. I get it. I get it in reality. I run from it. And what happens is when that sentence starts, if we don't know what's going on, our first reaction to sentencing is we run. You know, one of the big problems with the church is they don't know the other side. I'm going to get to the other side here in a minute. If all you know is the sentence and crucified lifestyle and the sufferings of the Lord and going through the wilderness and one day God's going to get me out of here, and you just keep getting hammering and hammering the winnowing fork, you know, the baptism of fire, the furnace, I've chosen you in the furnace of affliction. I'm like, when am I going to get out of the furnace? I am tired of the furnace. Paul had the same problem. He said, Lord, when are you going to deliver me from this stuff? I besought the Lord three times. There is another part of you, though. There's another whole part of the kingdom. And the problem with the church, they don't know the other part. They don't know why the sentencing's there. It is sentencing a part of you so you don't live for this world system. It's trying to sentence those things that keep trying to eat from this world system. He sentenced it. It's a corralling effect to keep you focused on where he wants you to be and where he wants you to live and where true life is found. But if you don't know where true life is found and don't know how to touch the true life, we're going to be quite miserable. I have rode that train. I've worn that t-shirt. I've worn several of those just like you have. We've been through the fire. I just don't want the testimony that, hey, I suffered for a lifetime and made it. The first thing we do is we run. Because we don't know what we're running from. We run from that sentence. How many of you ever run? You can run from God, but you can't hide. And the further you get out there, you just get miserable. In that land of misery. And all of a sudden, you come back. And after a while, when you're through running, what's the next stage? You embrace the trial. But with some self-pity, complaint, and inward roaring. I'm gonna get the good stuff in a minute. I'm just trying to tell you how to deal with the sentencing, because you're not gonna get away from it. I don't care what church you go to and what they tell you, you will not get away from the sentencing of the old man. He is sentencing that man for a reason. He's sentencing the part of you that was not raised with him. Now here's the good news before I get to the good news. He does not sentence the new man. He does not sentence him. He actually opens the gate for him to eat freely of the kingdom. But the old man. So what do? We start learning to embrace our trials. We embrace them, but we got self-pity. Woe is me. Roar in that inward. How many of you had that inward roarings? You roar inwardly. look, I've already done this. I've run. I can't go anywhere. I said, I just sit here. I can't tell you how many times I just sit in, at midnight, just sitting there. I'm like, and you know, you talk to God, you talk to him and say, why aren't you talking to me? And inwardly you're roaring because that part of you, I'm moving off of it in just a minute. It's like, come on, give me the good stuff. I came to hear the good stuff. But this is where the church is at. And then after a while, the roarings will get quiet. The next stage, you'll start embracing with quietness. But even that is not the plan of God. The plan of God was just to sentence that part of you so you could learn to escape into him and the other part, because your life truly is dead here. You just don't know it. Now, you live here and you function here. But he did not design you, once you're born again, to eat from this system and find life here. But he did design you to find life. Amen? Now go to Romans 6 for a minute. I got to get there today. I'm going to get there. Praise God. All right? Now, if you know that sentence is there, then let it have its work. But at the same time, if you never develop a vision, a compass for where God lives and the true life of where you're supposed to live, it said you're dead, but your life is hid with Christ and God. If you don't develop that compass, you're going to sit there and just get sentenced. Who wants to live in that? I've done that for years. So have you. We live in that. But we never launch into the place he wanted us to be. So we just sit there and get corralled our whole lifetime. How many of you ever felt that? Corralled. I said, I feel it right now, Pastor. Corralled! That is not what this was about. The corralling was to launch you. At some point in this life, you're going to have to launch into your God-given destiny of where God called you to live so you can eat from the tree he called you to eat from. You don't eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil anymore. You eat from the tree of life. But you got to know how to get there to eat from it. And it's full and it's abundant. It's glorious, downright glorious. In fact, the more you eat from it, like Chuck was telling me, he goes, man, I came in for a session and went back in for another session. I said, you know, I'm doing the same thing. I'm eating in the morning. I find myself wanting to go back. You don't go to God if you're just doing quiet time prayer. That's just to get your time in. But if you're eating, when you're really eating, you get something when he starts loving you like no man or no person can love you. When his glory starts coming over you, when you get caught up with him. He's so beautiful and so contrary to anything we have here. Then you come out of that and you come to the earth and you go, oh, is that all? And you look around. Oh, I think I want to go back. And you find yourself being in the fear of the Lord all the day long. I want to go back because you're connecting. See, while he's sentencing the old man, he's releasing the new one with resurrection life to come in to his glory, to step in to his right hand. All right? Romans 6. We are going to get there. Verse 3. Know you not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ? Were baptized into his death? See that again? You were baptized, see, yeah, that old man was baptized. When he was baptized, your old man went down in there with him. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we were raised up from the dead, and we now walk in newness of life. Everyone say newness of life. This is literally the river of life that flows from the very throne of God. That newness of life, you have full, unadulterated access to that life, and it's not of this world. Everyone say that life is not of this world. He buried that, but he also resurrected a part of you. And we've got to get in tune with the resurrection as much as we've been in tune with the crucifixion. Everybody knows the crucifixion, but we don't know the resurrection. So we come and we can't eat. We're trying to eat from this world. It's not there. But then we get blocked because we don't know how to come in to where we've been resurrected. How do I get there? How do I get through the veil? He says, you're not of this world. My kingdom is within you, but it's not of this world. How do I step over and into? Well, the first thing you got to do is you got to know what the Bible says. Well, I'm finding out every single book of the Bible. Paul called it the mystery of Christ in you. Dealt with this incredible mystery of being resurrected with him in heavenly places, where he blesses you with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places. How are you going to get blessed there if you don't know how to get there? The church needs some liftoff. We know how to be crucified. We understand the winnowing fork. We've been through the furnace of affliction. We've been living in the wilderness way past time to live there. But if we don't develop the kind of faith, compass, vision to launch into the resurrection life, we're going to be miserable. We're going to keep trying to eat from a fallen system that does not avail life. It will not avail completion. It will not avail fullness. You'll try. You'll keep trying, but it's not there. But it is an inheritance that God's given us. But we got to learn to eat. The first thing we've got to know is what he said about it. You can't go somewhere you don't know they exist. The more you hear it, the more it gets lodged within you, the more your faith will reach for it. This was the mystery of the Bible. It was the mystery of the New Testament. God, to wit, was reconciling the world through Christ to himself. What does that mean? Jesus said it like this: I go to prepare a place for you. If I go, I'll come again. I'll come and get you. That where I am with the Father, there you may be also. I'm going to the Father, but I'm going to go by way of the cross. And when I do, I'm going to purchase what's called the law of the Spirit of life. When I come back, I'm going to have this law. And when you receive this law, that old man that you were buried with, he'll be buried, but then the same resurrection power that raised me will raise you up to be with me where I am with him. And my glory that I have with the Father as the firstborn, I will give and share that same room with you. I'll share it, and you can come and sit down with me. In fact, I raise you together. I make you sit together with me, and all the love the Father loves me with, he's going to love you with. Say tangible love. If we don't eat from that tree, we are of all men most miserable, because a Christian cannot find life in this world. You can't have fun anymore like you did. Your flesh, but your spirit will grate on you. And then if that wasn't enough, God sentences your flesh. After you're a babe, the babes don't have sentencing. They get to do what they want. But once time to grow up, God releases the sentence of death. And he starts sentencing what's the residual effects of the old man, which is your body and the unregenerated part of your soul. He sentences. You can't enjoy it anymore. And that's why the church that gets the sentence of death with no resurrection walks around going, oh my God, we got to do this again. Because you're not called to just have sentencing of death. You're called to identify into resurrection. You've got to get in touch with the resurrection. Whoo! And that's powerful stuff. Amen? He said, therefore, verse 4, we're buried with him in baptism, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we were raised and walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, See, that's phase one. We shall also be planted together in the likeness of his resurrection. We can be where he is. We can partake of life, peace, joy, love, and blessings that are not of this world. Thank you for your three amens. Verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve it. The embodiment of sin that was the reservoir of sin within your spirit, he destroyed it when you were buried. In fact, he not only destroyed, he raised you in newness of life. You got a two-part being on the inside of you. You're a dual citizen with a two-part being. Your dual citizenship is you have citizenship in heaven and citizenship on the earth. And your earthly citizenship, you've got glory on the inside of you and you got flesh on the outside. You are a remarkable people. We are remarkable people. That's why you have things going like this. I said divine yo-yo. But God helps you. He's drawing. The kingdom is always drawing. It's the problem of the church. I'm in such intercession when I'm with him. But this is fun intercession. I don't know how to explain that. But when you're with him, it's so wonderful. And so beautiful. But the heaven is drawing. And for those who are not allowing him to draw, fighting the process, or just don't know how to get through the veil, we live and we get frustrated, miserable, because we don't know how to be where we're our God-given right to be. We don't know how to get there. And so our spirit is yearning and groaning for something, but we don't know how to get through that veil and eat for which we were called to eat from. We live a life of continual frustration. And this is why the church is in the conditions then. Because we don't know how to be where he is of passing through that veil. But we're learning, amen? We're learning. Now, oh, I had so much more to say. But I gotta go here. Go to Philippians chapter 3. I gotta get to this one. This is a most incredible. I'm going to spend the rest of the service here passing through this chapter. This is amazing, amazing. Now, let me set this book up for you a minute. The book of Philippians was written by Paul in Rome at the very latter part of his life before he went on to be with the Lord. And he was writing a letter to the Philippians. Most of the book, besides chapter 3, was really Paul thanking them for a life of service and faithfulness to his ministry, because God raised them up to be paymasters in a chief support system for him while he was on the mission field, and they were very faithful in doing this. No other church was like that, but the Philippians were. And so he does this, but this chapter 3 here, he drops into something amazing. I want to tell you something, too, before I get in this. The Bible talks about the god of this world system blinding the mind. The reason why the word doesn't shoot off in sparks, because there are certain veils over our mind and our belief system. When we read the word veiled, we don't see it. So a lot of times we just read it because that's the thing we're supposed to do. But you're not just supposed to read letters just because you're supposed to do it. You're here to find life in here. This book has some very intense life in it and light. It has the ability to break darkness off of you. And I, even this last 3 days, I'm looking into things now. I'm going, oh my God, look at this. Look at this. Look at this. The light can start. It can divide the Red Sea in you. Just, you start looking, and it's that light that causes you to launch. That's what causes you to release into resurrection life. You've got to identify into the resurrection life as much as we've identified with a crucifixion. Because if all we're going to do is just suffer. My God, I don't want to suffer. But let me tell you something about sufferings. When you start eating and tasting of the resurrection life, the sufferings become what Paul termed as a light affliction. They don't bear the weight that they used to bear because you're eating from another source. Amen? You're somewhere else. So what used to be painful is not painful anymore. I don't explain that. It's just glorious, all right? Are you with me? Do we need to do some jumping jacks here? I can't wait for the day God just... Whew. So there is a day the resurrection life is going to start coming down. And everybody's going, oh. But you don't have to wait for it to come down. Now it's going to come down because people are going up. Do you understand that? For that to come down. Now listen, I need to say this before I get into this chapter. God has a house that he lives in. We have a house that we live in here, called this earth's jurisdiction. If you want God to come and live here, he doesn't. No more than you go live in Pastor Chuck's house. You may come visit Pastor Chuck's house, but you don't live there. So God comes and visits through grace. And in his visitation, the first thing we do is, come stay, oh God, don't leave, stay. Then he departs and you think something's wrong with you. He said, this is not my home. This is my footstool. However, I have made a way for you to come and live where I am. Would you like my place as much better than yours? He goes, I made a way where you can come live where I am. I made you a citizen. You've not come to a mountain you can touch with your hands. Hebrews chapter 13, but you've come to the city of the living God, to the innumerable company of angels, the spirits of just men made perfect. You have full citizenship. The thing is, it's, we can be in church for 30 years and never know that. And because we don't know that, what do? We live as mere citizens here. We live here. And what do, we operate earthly. We have earthly results because we live in the earth. We're familiar with the earth. We're trained by the earth. We're trained and we do things in the flesh through our own sufficiency. And then we paint it and say, this is what God looks like. We preach to the world because we're not there with him. We preach to him with what we have. We start identifying, well, how would the world, let me make it the way the world would like it. And we present that to the world. However, the world's not impressed because the world has that already. If you want to impress the world, you're going to have to go somewhere that the world doesn't have. They don't have access to the heavenlies. When you go there and bring something down from there, they're going to go, huh? Wow. See, that's what Jesus did. He brought the Father, but he lived with the Father. He was qualified to bring him into the earth. Okay. All right, Philippians chapter 3, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, indeed, is not grievous. I'm in good company. To preach the same things to you, my brethren, to me is not grievous. Beware of dogs. Paul just kind of said it like it was. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. Now, who he was actually talking about was the Judaizers that did not come on and come through the cross, and they were resisting, and they were commanding people to come back under the law, come back under circumcision. They were commanding to keep the moral dictates of the law. They were commanding to keep the ordinances of the law, touch not. And then in Colossians, Paul said, look, if you be risen with Christ, why are you going back to the earthly ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, all perish with the using. He goes, that's not where your life is anymore. You're not called to serve in an earthly tabernacle. You're a heavenly people. It's just amazing to me how long we can walk with God as a heavenly people and never actually get there. If you don't live there, you can't represent that place. You always represent where you live. You're a sum product of what you do and where you live. You live in the earth, you will be earthly. You live in the heavenly, you'll start taking on the DNA of heaven. Amen. All right. He says, we are the circumcision, verse 3, which worship God in the spirit. See that? We're not operating in a natural tabernacle anymore. We're operating in a spiritual kingdom. We worship him. You don't worship either on this mountain or that mountain anymore, but we worship him in the spirit. He's a spirit. He has a kingdom, and we function from that kingdom. Paul knew a lot about the operation of the kingdom of God or the heavenlies. We worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus. He says, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, who have no confidence in the flesh. Now, this is the very thing I'm getting at here. Because if you don't reach into the heavenly and start operating where he puts you, you're going to operate in you. What you got. Show me what you got. Do you know how many people get promoted by their earthly credentials in the body of Christ? Just turn the TV on. Turn on one of the Christian channels. Not all of them, but more than half. I can tell you that. Look at those guys and you go, are you kidding me? The things that they say, the things that they do. You know why? Because they never made their journey. They're operating completely by their credentials in the flesh. So Paul says, you want to know credentials? You want to know somebody who has credentials? I'll show you mine. He goes, I'm going to show you mine. See, he's trying to distinguish and trying to get them out of operating in the natural. He goes, you want to see credentials? Let me show you mine. Watch this. He says, though I might have confidence in the flesh, this is what he's talking about. Functioning in your own sufficiency through your own goods, through your own credentials. He goes, though I have confidence in the flesh, if any man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, I was a Hebrew of Hebrews. Touching the law, I was a Pharisee, memorized the first 5 books of the Old Testament by the age of 7. Think you can do that? I haven't done it by the age of 43. Circumcised the eighth day. Touching the law, I was a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, I persecuted the church. Y'all got to stay with me here. I break any distraction coming here. You're going to hear this stuff. I don't have no distraction. I'll tell you one thing, the enemy does not want you to hear this. He'd like you to hear a nice message on anything but reaching into the heavenlies. Tell you how nice you are, how good you are. But just nothing. But you know why? Because he has no access to you. He gets cut off. Once you start operating the heavenlies, his whole control mechanism over your life, he'd like to keep you as a born-again, spirit-filled, tongue-talking, devil-stomping, mountain-moving machine, but totally neutralized because you never got into the place you could function the way God called you to function. He kept you as an earth being with God inside you. Circumcised, concerning zeal, I took it to the nth degree, persecuted the church in the stead of God. Touching the righteousness, which is the law, blameless. Do you know what it took to touch the moral dictate? Do you understand the discipline it took of a soul to keep the righteousness that was in the law? He said, I did it blameless. I was a Pharisee, outstanding citizen. I walked around with all the other religious figures. He goes, you want to talk about credentials? I got them. God's not looking for your credentials. He is looking for the part of you that he resurrected to identify into his resurrection and release into him. He reconciled you to him to come all the way into where he is. You can begin living with him. What did they say about Peter, James, and John when they brought him? He says, we cannot deny these men have been with Jesus. They're resisting them. They're looking at miracles. And they said, we can't deny that these guys have been with the Lord. Why? Because glory was all over them. They're living in another realm. We are coming into the fullness of that realm. Woo! We're going to have it. We're getting it now. Accessing. You know, used to, it's like hit and miss, hit and miss, hit and miss, hit and miss. Now it's hit, 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 hit. Now it's like you gain confidence. You just lay back and say, oh, yep, I did. You're living in the Father's love. If you've not had the experience of the Father loving you in your heavenly room, oh, my. It's worth the whole journey. It's worth it, my friends. But what those things were gained to me, verse 7, watch where he's going here. We're going to close at the end of this book. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. I lost all of that. That man that could excel like that. He found out that wasn't what God was looking for. He said he can't. Now, he's in the Tullian keep in Rome right now. He's standing in the sewer system of Rome. They chained him in the sewer system, and he'd write these letters in the sewer system at the end of his life. Now, watch what he says here. He's in prison when he's writing this. Those things were gained to me, verse 7, I counted loss. Yet doubtless, I count all things but loss. For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. The stuff I'm standing in, writing this to you, is what I consider that old man, that familiar man of the flesh. He said, I count that but dung, for the excellency of the knowledge. Where was he getting this? It wasn't in the earth. You see, this man was not eating of the earth system. The Pharisee part of him did. He excelled in it. But the God part of him, standing in a prison in the Tullian keep, but he was caught up in the heavens. See, when you're caught up in the heaven, you forget real quick your environment. Real quick here. So that place is more glorious. And it's coming into the earth because we're going up to where it is. You'll be seeing a lot of demonstration coming shortly. God's going to start demonstrating because we're getting the message right. He confirmed it for the disciples. He confirmed it for the apostles. He confirmed Paul's message because it was the same message he carried. That I'm reconciling the world, not just to salvation. Are you kidding me? Thank God he did. But salvation was the gate to come to the Father. Because I'm reconciling you to come and be with him. Right in the midst of his presence. His glory coming in here right now. He might start healing today. You never know. It might start manifesting today. I'm fine with it, Father. Verse 8, yes, doubtless I count all things for the loss, the excellency of the knowledge of Christ my Lord, whom I've suffered the loss. You don't mind suffering the loss when you're standing in glory. The suffering of the loss is only painful when you're not with him. We suffer the loss of a lot of things because the sentence of death assures us that we're going to suffer the loss of certain things, carnal desire, carnal appetite, but he's going to replace it with the appetite for resurrection life. Whew. Look at this, verse 9. Oh, my God. Coming in here, Father. Oh, touch us. Show us. Confirm, Father, the glories of this place. Fill everyone in here, Father. Touch their bodies, their minds, their hearts. Holy Spirit, let heaven come into this room today. Lift us all into these heavenly rooms for which we were called. Break the veils over their minds and their hearts, Father. Break the veils of darkness over their mind. Let there be light released upon their mind and their spirit, Father. Let the glories of heaven penetrate every part of our being. Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. He wanted to know. He was so in tune with that resurrection. Being made conformable unto his death, he understood the fellowship of the sufferings, but he understood the power of his resurrection and listened to what he was interceding for. If by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. Do you know what he was in intercession for at the last part of his life? He wanted to be like Enoch and Elijah. He understood the resurrection to such a degree, he was literally asking God to resurrect this dead body. Not to die a natural death, to resurrect it and take it, because he was living so strong in that resurrection life. He was so engrossed in it. He said, God, just bring my body. Bring it through the veil like you did Elijah. Like you did Enoch. Draw it through the veil. That's where we gotta be. His spirit had utter access. He wrote about it in every book. He wanted his body. Now get this. Not as though I'd already attained. We're already perfect. He's in a prison. What's he going to be attaining? He's in the heavens. You got to understand. I apprehend that for which I was apprehended of him. He reconciled me to the Father. And I apprehend the Father through resurrection. I apprehend that place. I press towards the mark of the prize of the high call. For many walk, of whom I've told you often and tell you even among them weeping, they're enemies of the cross, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetites, carnal appetites, whose glory is in their shame. Listen to this. Who mind earthly things. But our conversation is in heaven. Know that conversation means citizenship. Because our citizenship is in heaven. We're not to be minding earthly things anymore. Our citizenship is in heaven. God, that's awesome. From whence we also look for our Savior. Who will change our vile body. He knew there was going to come a resurrection of the body, but he wanted it before the day of resurrection. He didn't want to die a natural death. That's how strong he was identifying into resurrection life. Our faith is just touching these places. We're little babes running around in the right hand right now with our Pampers on. But we're getting in there. We're touching realms that have been hidden. There's a lot of people that access these realms, but the revelation of it's been hidden, and we're coming through the light. We're coming through the light of His Word, and you all have a full access there. You have a full inheritance, and everything will begin multiplying from that place and increasing. And glory will come into the earth, and demonstrations will come into this city. To confirm that God is reconciling the world back into His bosom. There is no more barrier. Access has been granted to be with Him where He is at the right hand. access has been granted. Listen. Listen to these messages. Prepare your faith. If you run into a wall, keep going. That's the faith that overcomes the world. See, it's overcoming the world system. It's reaching beyond the world system. Don't draw back. Don't draw away. Don't turn away. Don't draw back. But press in through the veil. Your faith can overcome this world system. You can reach into the heavenlies and begin to fellowship with the living God. Hallelujah, Father.